What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I did a tobacco ceremony with a shaman, and Bufo was part of it. Bufo Alvarius, 5-MeO DMT, and I've had the same experience with doing the breath, but not as intense. I felt like I came. First of all, it was like a rocket. Like you mentioned, rocket. So I was like, it was like it's pew, right, and I felt, yeah. Joe talks about it. Aubrey Marcus talks about it a lot. He had a great episode with some guy who used to be a Vegas mogul. I forgot his name, Chris or something or other. Great episode. But I felt like I saw universal divine source, and I saw an altar, but it wasn't a traditional altar. But to me, it was an altar, and it was surrounded by purples and yellows and oranges. And I felt like I was everywhere yet nowhere simultaneously. I felt like I knew everything that there was to know, but I knew nothing. It was really, it's a really wild experience. They call it ego death. I don't know if my ego is completely dead, but there was some kind of death and rebirth going on. And I'm sober, so to me that was not a party. It wasn't. I didn't do it to get high. It was medicine. It was, yes, plant medicine, even though it's an animal. Animal medicine. Frog medicine. Toad medicine, rather.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head for thousands of years. This ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras. And now, your host, Aditya Jai Kumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we help you calm your mind, relax your nervous system, and experience deep states of bliss. In today's episode, I hope to explore some of my favorite topics that I absolutely love chatting about, which are breathwork, cold exposure, music, sound healing, sound bathing, maybe a little bit about the journey of entrepreneurship overall, but the hero's journey, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. And we find ourselves from time to time in certain junctures and roles that we play in life. And what I'm really fascinated about is awakening our own hero within. And that's a little bit on about what we'll touch on today. But we're going to get started in a minute. So if you like the work that we do, if you are excited about this episode, and if you'd like to support us, then make sure that you hit the subscribe button right now, because it does something to the algorithm and helps more people come across this podcast. So make sure that you hit subscribe, make sure you hit follow as well. And make sure that you tell at least one of your friends about this episode, because I can't wait to get started. With that being said, let's bring on our special guest for today, Gianni Neviler, a self-professed biohacker. Gianni embarked on a new journey of self-discovery. He felt that he wasn't living life to the fullest after endless hours of devouring podcasts and reading books on the many biohacking modalities. Gianni started experimenting on himself, continually tweaking and refining. Through trial and error, he discovered sleep optimization, nutrition, and breath work were vital in achieving physical, mental, and spiritual growth. So Gianni began to share his knowledge with friends and family, and the results were so inspiring, it led him to take a course in breath work and cold therapy. And that's pretty much, in addition to so many other things that he does, is breath work and cold therapy, which I'm excited to talk about. Hey, Gianni, nice to have you on our show.
Hey, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good.
I just want to say, you know, that faux pas you made there was, it could come true. I'm working on getting some corporate clients.
Yeah.
And TEDx. Let's go. Let's bring it on. I'm ready.
You know what? I strongly believe that sometimes the universe communicates through human beings, because there's no way for the universe to just come across as a bird, right? If a bird speaks to you tomorrow, you'll be surprised. You'll think you're sleeping or maybe you're high on something. But if a human tells it, a lot of times I didn't plan this, right? So it came through me, but maybe, just maybe, you know, a TED Talk is next for you.
Big hell yes to that, my friend. I'll take it.
Awesome. And Action Tribe, many of you all know that one of my, you know, intentions for this year and going beyond is to really have a deeper connection with my guests, right? I don't treat my guests just as guests, but as people that I'd like to learn from, connect with, be friends with, have coffee with, have dinners with, right? So even though these sessions are typically remote, I'm doing a lot of in-person sessions as well, but I like to have some kind of connection with my guest before we record these podcasts, and I hope it translates onto the show as well. So to let you know, I had a breathwork session with Gianni just yesterday, because a lot of times I do breathwork for other people, but it's so rewarding and fulfilling and valuable to have somebody else, right, hold space for you and take you through the journey of breathing. And I absolutely enjoyed that experience, Gianni. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for coming yesterday. It was a special occasion. It was a Father's Day breathwork session. I felt a connection with you right away, even before yesterday when we spoke. When we were communicating via Instagram DMs, I felt connected to you, and I felt connected to you before you even knew I was connected to you, because you interviewed my great teacher, Alex Tsuk, and just the connection you two had was, you know, I connected because I connect with him so much.
Yeah.
And so here we are today. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope he's watching this. I have connected with him on Facebook. But yeah, it's fascinating how this works when people, I feel, are on similar wavelengths, similar visions. It's just beyond words, right? And sometimes you connect with somebody and sometimes you don't. But a lot of times, if there's a vibration there, then there's a connection. I, I still am at lost with how this works, but it does work, right?
Oh, man, does it really? Does it ever, rather? It's energy, right? Energy,
yeah.
As you said, can be felt from across the world through a screen, you know, in person. Energy mm-hmm. is energy, and it yeah. has no boundaries, has no borders. It flows. And when mm-hmm. your heart is open and true, you know, the universe brings it all together, brings specific people together, brings just love. It just brings the love, even though it's sometimes you don't even have to have, you don't have to be in the same, say, breath work or the same yeah. genre of work. It's energy. Yeah. We're all that's connected true. Anyway. So
yeah, I like to say that's way true.
Mm-hmm. I like to say that if we could see, mm-hmm. we humans, that is, if we could see if a string that's connected to each one of us, mm-hmm. we would treat one another much better. Mm-hmm. So if I could see the string that's connected to the stranger who's passing me on the street, and then the string that connects me to him connects him to the other person down the street, and this big web of human beings, we're all connected. And if we could right. all just see that string, the world would be a much better place.
Oh, that's very, very true and very profoundly put as well. We are all connected. It might not be a literal string, but it's an invisible string, just like the electricity, right? Nobody can see electricity, but we can feel the shock when we accidentally maybe put our hands in the wrong place, and we can feel the effects of electricity by knowing that this light is working, this computer is working, and all the different appliances in the house are working. There's a sense of trust that we have. We just know it works. And a lot of times, maybe children don't even know about electricity, but the effects are there. And just like you put, right, there's this fabric, there's this string or strings that connect human beings across the world. And some call it love, some call it string theory. I don't even know if that makes sense, right? But there is a connection. So, Gianni, why don't you tell us, where were you born and brought up? Because I find that really fascinating to have, you know, to uncover or discover something about my guests, especially how it all started for them.
Sure. I'd love to share my story with you. I grew up in Hollywood, California, to immigrant parents, immigrant mother and father from Naples, Italy. Mm-hmm. My father came first by himself to, I guess, test the waters. And he liked them and went back and gathered my mother, my older brother, and my older sister. And then I was born 6 years later, smack dab in the middle of Hollywood, where many people think, who's from Hollywood? I've never heard of it. Like, you grew up in Hollywood? People always laugh at that. But yeah, I grew up in Hollywood, and I had a great childhood. Got to tell you,
right?
I had a lot of fun.
That is amazing. That's amazing. So you're from Italy, Napoli. Is the Neapolitan pizza from there originally? I mean, your parents, yeah.
Yes. The Margherita pizza is from Naples, named after yeah. the Queen Margherita.
Interesting. I mean, growing up, I always loved pizzas myself. In fact, I loved pizzas so much that there was this one time, or maybe two occasions, where my parents got me a pizza for a birthday cake, and we put candles on them. You know, I guess that fantasy died out over the years. And Hollywood is very interesting. It's been a while since I've been to California myself, but I still remember the first time I went there. So beautiful. I went to Santa Monica, I went to the beach. It was so fascinating for me. And then I remember we took a train that took us all the way to Hollywood, because then we were going to the
Universal Studios.
Yeah.
That was a good guess.
I still remember that. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you, like, a lot of people come for the Universal Studios, right? For that part. But then a lot of people come to pursue their careers and to become the next, you know, Matthew McConaughey or some rock star.
I've seen him come and I've seen him go. Yes.
It's very transient. Did you at one point, like, what did young Gianni want to become when he grew old? What was your...
A rock star.
You want to be a rock star? Okay.
Yeah. I got close. I got this close, but no cigar. Yeah. I don't know, maybe 9 or 10, I was just fascinated with music. I was a huge Beatles fan. And I went to my first local concert when I was 13 or 14. And I was hooked. I saw those guys on stage and I said, I can do that. Mm. And that's when the light went off. And before you knew it, I was in a little teenage rock band and went on for a good 15 years. Good times.
That is really amazing. I also, if I may say, was in a rock band, not for many years, but I was a lead singer, and also I used to play the guitar in my college. So we played for 2 years during the musical festivals. And one thing I can tell you is we've had a really hard time to find a drummer. But then when we did find it, it's so fascinating to be in a band, right? Because like you point out, it's like a string. There's something that connects every member of the band. And if there's a disconnection, the whole audience can see it because there's some kind of disturbance in the resonance. But when it is resonant, oh my God, you can just feel it, right? The electricity of you performing in front of so many people. And a lot of times, especially at night, you can't even see the audience. It's black. But then you have the strong lights pointing at you and you can feel this exhilaration, right? You feel high. Would you say that?
Oh God, that's one of my first, I would say, spiritual experiences and it wasn't even necessarily on stage, even in the rehearsal studio, when the ensemble of, you know, three or four musicians come together and you start playing that song and everything just matches, like the planets align. Mm-hmm. I'm getting goosebumps just telling it to you. There's nothing like that. And then you do that on stage and then you have the audience participation. It's a whole other world. I want to say something though about drummers real fast. You said something about drummers and I've had this saying that I've been saying for years. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
But you could judge a band by its drummer.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if the drummer's off, everybody else is off. The bass player could be off, and the audience won't notice. The singer, people will notice, but you could salvage it. Guitar player could be off, people won't notice. Drummer's off, good night, it's over. Mm.
That's so true. You know, one person can make such a difference. And especially if the band, like in our case, our band was not very well known and we were sort of the underdogs. And I still remember going on stage and feeling so nervous and, you know, feeling as if the audience is against you in many ways because the other band had their favorites, right? Because they used to play the same numbers and we were here playing. We were not playing heavy metal. We were playing like alt rock and we were playing these other covers. But we did have the sense of confidence. We just had this sense of connection, me with the bassist and the bassist with the other guitarist and the drummer. And within minutes, we had the crowd cheering for us. It's fascinating how just vibrations beyond language can do so much for us.
And those nerves go away pretty quickly. once the first note kicks in, it's over. You're in it to win it. Question, did this happen in Canada? Were you in Canada doing this?
No, this was in India. This was actually more than 10 years back. And the surprising story of this is we did the show. It was recorded. I didn't even have the video because my bassist kept telling me that he had it, but he worked away from his home. And like after 10 years, just a couple of months back, he reaches out to me and says, AJ, I got the video. And I'm like, because I had forgotten about it. I assumed that I would never get access to that video. And here he is, and he sends it to me. And I had like a spiritual experience, just seeing myself 10 years back and noting that, you know what, I wasn't that bad.
That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I know exactly. The feeling.
Yeah. And so what did you end up pursuing early on as a young adult? What were you doing at that time?
Well, so I was born into the restaurant business, the Italian restaurant business, mm-hmm. which was my, you know, my income, my way of making a living. Mm-hmm. My dreams aside, I was always in like local bands playing. And then in the early 90s, I was in a band and we got signed to a major label. So I was able to leave the restaurant business and go on tour and make records and all that stuff. When that was over, and don't get me wrong, it was a resentment because I didn't know, I didn't have gratitude for what my family did for me, but I had a job, right? So when mm-hmm. when the music was done, I still had a job to come to, whereas my bandmates were struggling and they continued on in music, and some of them have gone on to become rock stars. And for me at the time, I resented that. I didn't realize what I had, how good I had it, and what my mother and father provided for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it took me years later to understand that. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the restaurant business. Then I got back into the music business and started playing with a singer-songwriter. We did some touring in Europe, and that was wonderful. But at that point, I already had young children and a mortgage and more responsibilities. So I took it as, I appreciated it more. I didn't take the music for granted as much, but I was still very unhappy with the restaurant business. Again, because I was not grateful. So to answer your question, I, you know, music, restaurant, back to music, back to restaurant. And then the story leads to where I am now, which, you know, you could ask me some more questions if we want to get, you want to segue to that in a different way, we can, or I can go straight into it. It's up to you, brother.
Yeah. So before going there, I'm just curious, what did you not like about the restaurant business?
You know what? I'm going to start with what I did like, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I liked the connection. I liked the connection. Yeah. I liked making people happy when they were eating our food, because it was my mm-hmm. mother's recipes, and it was fulfilling. I definitely enjoyed the connection and the social aspect of it. What I did not like was the details. I didn't like some of the complaining. You know, hungry people are they could be okay. They're hangry, right? Yeah. I have an older brother who I love dearly, who's very micromanaging, and he treated me a lot like a little brother and just always told me what to do and never really took my ideas seriously. Although he did, I just didn't see it at the time. I was ego, you know, a lot of stuff in the way. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, if you would ask me this question 3-4 years ago, it would be different than it is now.
Right. Yeah, it totally makes sense that you did not like the micromanaging and the detail, right? That's why they say the devil is in the detail.
The details.
Right? It makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so, and so then also at a certain point, you were touring, you were in the band, but deep down you felt that it was no longer for you. Is that correct? That you wanted something else, or you wanted to switch?
I've always wanted something else. It's this really interesting question that you pose here. Music is a passion. It's a love. It's in my heart, but it's not a calling. Mm-hmm. And I knew from a very young age that I needed to help. I needed to help others. I never really knew in what capacity. And one could say playing music is helping, right? It's soothing, even though I played punk rock. But that soothes a lot of people.
Oh, you played punk rock? Interesting.
Okay. I played funk, punk, metal. I've played it all.
Right.
But my career with the one particular band was considered like alt punk. But so one could say music is soothing and helping. And indeed it is. But it wasn't fulfilling. And then one could also say the restaurant business is helping because you're feeding people. And that as well was not fulfilling. It wasn't fulfilling my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. There's a difference between being able to really fulfill somebody and something that, you know, makes you happy individually, right? So in my case also, music has followed my life throughout my life, but yet deep down, I felt that the thing that I do that really fulfills me will involve music, but it won't be particularly being in a band. Because I was in a band for a while. I loved music all my life. I also worked in one of the top companies for sound. I used to work at Bose Corporation.
Really?
So I've actually been to the headquarters at Bose Corporation and seen all those large speakers that they do. They test those speakers and run it all day long. And it's so loud in there that you got to wear these, you know, noise cancellation, huge headphones, not the ones available for public, but the real rugged ones. And your suit or maybe your trousers, they vibrate with all the vibration. And that sound, it's an amazing testing room there.
But 60 cycle
sound
home.
Is going to place. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I knew that, you know, sound and music is going to play some kind of role. But to your point, it was not that fulfilling at that point. So how did you get into the cold? Like, how did you get into the practice of like cold showers or cold plunges? How did that begin for you? Where were you and what were you doing?
It was a winding road. It's hard to really pinpoint the moment it happened. I would say probably seeing that Vice episode of Wim Hof in Poland, I think it was, with those guys. Was it Vice or was it a different one? I don't know. That was really fascinating. But I was already on this journey, right? I was already really into biohacking. I was just devouring podcasts and books about just, you know, bettering your body and your lifestyle. At that point, I had quit drinking. I lost 100 pounds, close to nearly 100 pounds, and I knew there was more to feeling better. I knew that, you know, as we get older, I see everyone complain and complain about how this aches and this hurts and I'm tired and I can't sleep. And I wasn't accepting that. I wasn't.
Right.
And I saw these biohackers who happen to have podcasts, and I just started implementing little things here and there, and I started stacking one on top of the other, and the cold was one of them. It didn't even start with cold showers. It started with throwing some ice cubes in my bathtub, believe it or not. And I didn't even know what breath work was yet. For me, it started with the ice first, then the breath. Yeah.
So which podcast were you following at that time?
Oh, I was following Luke's Story, the Lifestylist.
Oh, okay.
I was following Rich Roll.
Rich Roll, I thought you might say that. Okay.
Dave Asprey, Bulletproof Radio. Mm-hmm. I think he's changed the name as of late. Ben Greenfield.
Ben
Greenfield. Sean Stevenson, The Model Health mm-hmm. Show. That kicked me off down the sleep hacking rabbit hole. And I learned a lot through Sean Stevenson. I love that guy. Lacey Peterson. I think is that her last name? Lacey Peterson? Lacey. And I learned I learned of Luke's Story through Lacey. I want to shout out to my friend Ninon. She's going to hate me. She's responsible for showing me this other world. Mm-hmm. She turned me on to Lacey, and I was off to the races after that. And there's more biohackers. And it's not just bio. It's also like Charles Eisenstein, Aubrey Marcus. There's more. They're escaping me right now. But it's not just in the physical. Mm-hmm. It's also in the spiritual and in the mental, right? Oh, Andrew Huberman.
Okay, right.
Come on. He's my hero.
That is amazing. And all these podcasts that you name, I think 80% of them, I'm also a fan of them. And it's fascinating how a person can go from, you know, having all these challenges and maybe bad habits and difficulties and then transform themselves, right? And then within a few years, and sometimes it takes more than a few years, it takes 5 years, maybe 10 years, we don't realize it. But then we think that they're overnight successes, but we don't see that they've been struggling and taking action, you know, every day. Not just to build their podcast, but also to build themselves, so to speak. And it's fascinating. You mentioned that right, you can grow old, but you don't have to age. There are so many things that you can do these days to feel better, to feel more vital, to feel more energetic, to feel just more flexible also, right, on a physical sense. Love the idea of layering, because I got a couple of these different things that I do, and I've made a profound impact on my life. One is cold showers, especially if you have an opportunity to cold dip. I do that. I love my green juices these days. I've got a juicer. Love the celery juice as well. Oil bath. I love doing oil bath. And of course, the breath work and all these things. And like you put, when you layer them on, it's like you have additional rocket fuel to really supercharge your life. So...
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
I like what you said. What was it? We grow old, but we're going to grow old, but we don't age. Or I love that.
Yeah, I mean, growing old is not a choice. Right? Age wise, you grow old, but then you don't have to have the same effects of aging if you take these steps and if you adopt these routines and things like that.
I could say this. I'm 55.
Yeah,
and I feel like I'm 35. And when I was 35, I felt like I was 55. No joke. I'm not exaggerating. That's how much my life has changed.
Yeah.
And like you said, the stacking and how I eat, I avoid all seed oils. I'm very serious about that. Salt I use. I'm very serious about the salt I use. Redmond Real Salt. Shout out. If you've never used it, look it up. I'm not a vegetarian. I'd like to point that out. I have nothing against vegetarians or vegans, but I truly believe that grass-fed, sustainably grown, you know, ethically raised cattle is important. I think it's actually good for the environment. I don't believe this whole thing about it's bad for the environment. Hold on. Let me back up. Mm-hmm. Factory farming is bad for the environment. No doubt.
Right.
But if they were to allow the cows to graze in their natural way, that helps the environment. And that's controversial.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Whatever I see on television, sorry, please go ahead. I said, whatever I see on television, mainstream, I take it with a grain of salt.
Salt. Please go ahead. I was just going to say, I also do raw dairy. Raw kefir is
okay.
It's helped my gut considerably. I'm missing this much of my colon. You can't see it on the camera. Part of my colon has been removed and reconnected.
Okay.
I don't have a gallbladder. And before I changed my diet and started introducing raw dairy, I was always having trouble, stomach problems. I don't have stomach problems anymore because of the bacteria, right?
Yeah.
The raw dairy bacteria, they have a good and bad bacteria, symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. You need both.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yeah. It just speaks to the idea that just because you've heard something or some group of people saying something that it's good for you, it's not necessarily good for you, right? You need to do your own research. You need to read the studies. You need to maybe do a little experimentation for yourself to find out if it works for you or not. Like, for example, growing up, everyone said, breakfast, you got to have a heavy breakfast. That's best for you, right? But then later on, I do intermittent fasting and I feel so much better. Growing up, Everyone saying milk is good for you. You got to have a large glass of milk, right? My parents, grandparents, everyone would say that. I didn't like milk as a child. I don't think a lot of children like milk per se, right? And I don't drink milk. I feel better, right? So these are these things that for one reason or the other have become popular, maybe because of lobbyists. There are these large lobbying groups that are pushing a current narrative. And sometimes, every once and oft, you need to question these narratives and say, does it make sense for me? If it does, great. And if it doesn't, well, then do something else, right? I want to ask you, what does cold do for you? Like, Everyone who's a fanatic of cold has their own very, I found, very subjective, very personal connection to the cold. It's almost like a physical relationship, like a brother or sister, right? Mm-hmm. But what does the cold do for you? Why do you keep going back to the cold?
So many things. First of all, it centers me. It puts me in the present. You can't be in the past or the future when you're in that water. So it shocks the nervous system into the present. I'm sorry, I don't know if you could hear my wife playing the drum right now. She's doing a sound bath. Okay. If I'm having a bad day, or if something adverse happens, I go straight out to my ice bath, fill it up, jump in, and it goes away. You know, sometimes it doesn't work, but I would say 9 out of 10 times it does. Gives me energy. I could do twice as many push-ups, or I could plank for a minute and a half longer after getting out of an ice bath. I don't want to say I was an angry person, but I had a short fuse, especially in LA traffic. I don't have a short fuse anymore. I don't react when something happens, be it in traffic or with a family member. I used to like as if I had guns holstered and I was ready to shoot. The cold therapy, the ice plunges, have taught my nervous system to pause, take a step back, and respond accordingly. Can you hear her sound bowls?
No, that's fine.
Okay. I was hoping you could. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, I can hear it a little bit, but it's not disruptive to the conversation or to the microphone. That's what I meant.
It's a beautiful sound. I love the crystal bowls. My wife
it's
plays
great. Yeah.
She plays the hell out of them.
Yeah, I love sound bowls myself.
And one more thing I'd like to add. I've suffered from lower back pain and neck pain intermittently most of my adult life. It's almost all but gone. And if I start to, if I begin to feel a twinge or a tinge of it, I'll jump in the ice. It's gone. I also like to say, you know, I stack so much. Sometimes it's hard for me to know what exactly is doing the trick. I haven't worn shoes. I mean, of course I have, but 90% less than I used to. For one, I'm not in the restaurant business anymore. And two, we had a major pandemic. So I've been barefoot for the last almost 3 years. I wear Earth Runners. Mm. Another shout out, Earth Runners. Everybody, you should buy some Earth Runners.
Yeah, are they really good?
I've heard about them. I love them. I just broke mine today. I'm so sad. I have to order a new strap. But
yeah,
I truly believe that some of my back pain is gone, not just because of the ice. I point because my ice bath is right here. Not because of the ice, but also because of being barefoot and getting back to nature and grounding. I'm grounding all the time. I wake up at dawn. I sun gaze on my grass, barefoot, do some Qigong, a little yoga stretches. That has a lot to do with my back pain as well. So it's not all the ice. It's a combination. Right. It's the stack.
Yeah. That's very true. I definitely can agree with the way that the ice and the cold showers can change your mood. Like just before this podcast, I was feeling a bit stressed for some reason. I was feeling a lot of anxiety, and I don't know why. And I intuitively just went into the cold shower. I went straight in, and within like 3 seconds, I was feeling better, right? Because like you put it, when you're in the cold, you can't really think about the past or the future. You're focused on the present and now and breathing. And I think that makes such a difference. And the other thing I wanted to say was, especially if you're doing an ice cold plunge, right? Recently, I was at my friend's place. We were recording Lisa, but at her place. And when you do an ice cold plunge, yes, you feel that shock. Yes, you feel that freezing cold. Yes, you're for a couple of seconds all over the place and trying to center yourself. But it's an opportunity for connection too, right? Because when the person is sitting next to you and provides you that guidance and assurance, automatically you feel better. So it's not just the cord, maybe it's the connection as well, right? That the other person or persons provide.
Oxytocin, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Back to what we were talking about earlier, energy. And you know, we're all connected, especially when you're in that state, when somebody's in that water and you're guiding them.
Yeah.
There is a connection for sure. And in my case, I have my clients take the ice bath after almost an hour of breathing. So they're cracked wide open. I wanted to say one more thing about the ice. Everybody around me, when it's a hot summer day, they complain, "Oh my God, I'm so hot. Oh my God, turn on the air. Let's go inside." And I'm like, "That's fine. It's not that bad, you guys." And vice versa. Even though we don't really have crazy winters here in Los Angeles, but it gets cold and it's been getting actually colder the last several years. Everybody complains, "Oh my God, it's so cold. Turn the heater on." I'm like, "It's not that bad, you guys. I've regulated my hot and my cold response.
Yeah.
I'm never hot and I'm never cold anymore." Right. Mm-hmm. Also, another thing about the ice bath is modern humans are constantly seeking comfort, right? And we're finding it. We're succeeding because everything is geared for comfort.
Yeah.
Right? Air conditioner, heaters, rubber soles, Amazon, cars, everything, you name it. You know, people here in Los Angeles, they won't even walk a block to go get, you know, whatever they need to buy at the store. They drive there.
Right.
We've become fragile. Right. We've developed all of these tools to make the environment adapt to us when we are highly adaptable creatures. So when you get in that water and you realize, okay, I just did the 3 minutes and I didn't die, you grow, right?
Oh, yeah.
You grow. Hormesis It's like stretching a rubber band, you know, or getting close to the edge. You realize, oh, wait a minute. I'm not as fragile as they tell me. I'm not as, you know, I'm not as weak as I thought I was. Hey, I'm strong. I could do this. So that's another benefit. It's another benefit of the ice that's helped me a lot and helped my clients a lot.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And when you are in the cold, now when you show up in life, maybe at your workplace or in your relationships, deep down you're rewired. So you show up differently. You show up as a more resilient and courageous and brave human being, irrespective of your man, woman, or any gender, right? So you're just showing up in a different way. And I wanted to mention, like you pointed out, we're so used to comfort, right? But we also deep down crave discomfort because that's who we are. We're primal beings. And so when we are in the cold, when we are not having food for 16 hours, what happens in the body? Autophagy. Autophagy is like the death of the cell, right? That literally translates in Greek to death. And so I find that from time to time, we need a little bit of an experience of death because the experience of death purifies our life. Whether it's the extreme cold, whether it's scarcity of food, we need to experience that, right? We can't have eating all the time. Or for that matter, this is another example also, intermittent hypoxia, right? Well, like scarcity of air.
Yeah, breath hold, yes.
Yeah. So it's really interesting that you mentioned that. How did you discover breath work?
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's hard to find or pinpoint one place, but what would you say as you look back?
Yeah. Not in this case. I have a very specific answer. I could answer this one very clearly. Mm-hmm. I was browsing around on Instagram, mm-hmm. and I ran across this French guy who lives in Bali, who we know, mm-hmm. and he was... It was one of his reels, or actually it wasn't a reel. It was one of his videos, IGTVs. I don't think reels existed yet. Mm-hmm. And he was explaining. I got to him because of ice. But he was explaining about how to breathe in the ice. And then I saw the video of him and Wim Hof in that whatever it was. It looked like a pool or whatever it was. And then I went to his next video, and I liked it, and then I liked the next one, and then I liked the next one, and then I went to another video of him explaining more about breathing, and I liked that one too. And I liked like 10 videos in a row. I watched them. I was fascinated. Something about him just pulled me in, and he reached out to me and said, hey, I see, I forgot what he said, but he reached out to me and I can't remember now if I asked him, tell me more about the breath, or if he told me, but long story short, we connected on Instagram and he said, I'm doing a training. And of course I know he was doing some marketing, right? He was seeking some students, right? I get it. Something told me, which is the opposite of what I was used to and the opposite of what I normally do, which is stop, you're being, you know, like, don't do it, fear. I usually fear would get in my way, or doubt, or I can't do that, mm-hmm. or that's, you know, whatever the mind does, right? Something mm-hmm. inside me said, there's a door here. This man across the world is offering you a door. Go through it. And I did. I took his course. In fact, I paid for it before we even started, which I understand, you know, not everyone does that, but I was just taken. I was like, I got to do this. Something is telling me. Something in my gut. Let's go there. It wasn't in the back of my head. It was in my gut. Said, take this course. And so I did. And I have not looked back since.
Maybe going back to your first few breathwork sessions, what opened up for you? What was the experience like?
Wow. So my first breathwork experience was with Alex, and it was pretty profound. I didn't know what to expect. My first guided one, which was not Wim Hof. Let me back up. I did do some Wim Hof before him, with the app, you know, the three rounds, the 30, the 40 breaths. Those were great, but I did not have, those were more physical. With Alex, it was more, it was still physical, but it was more, sometimes I hate to use this word, more spiritual, more metaphysical, more, more loving, more feminine. Whereas Wim Hof was very rough and gruff. And then throughout the course, there was a few guest facilitators that came on. One in particular, Rebecca Llewellyn, she just cracked me wide open to the point of tears. I saw myself as a child and some stuff that happened to me as a child that I had kind of blocked out or forgotten. And that was heavy. That was really heavy. And it led to more heaviness because of the class I was in. Alex's class is more than just breath. It's authentic relating and you know, kind of showing you who you aren't as opposed to who you are. And it's both showing you who you are deep down. And I had some, there was some tension with someone in the class based on my experience and what I shared after my breath work. And that was jarring, but a learning experience that I wasn't expecting. I didn't know it was going to go down. And now me and that person are good friends. And then a third time was with another guest, Benedict Beaumont. He lives in Canada, but he's an Englishman. Great breath worker. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. You should have him on this show. He's amazing. So is Rebecca, by the way. I love her. With Benedict, I had another memory come back to me of when I was in late teens, early 20s, of something that happened, and that also led to some growth and some life growth, life changes, some, you know, reassessment of who I am or who I thought I was. Power of the breath.
Yeah, it's so interesting how the human mind and body works, that if you experience some trauma, like deep trauma or like a negative experience, the mind automatically wants to store that memory somewhere in the corner of the confines of your mind, so much so that you don't have the memory at all, or body. Yeah. And more often than not, because it's storing that in that part of the body, maybe you have some illness or something. There's some stuckness, there's some staleness of energy, and it's fascinating how with breath work, all of it comes out, or maybe slowly, step by step, it comes out, right? And then you remember that. Yeah.
It's fascinating to witness it in myself and now witness it in my clients, you know, what they share afterwards and what they report back, you know, a few days later or their next session. It's fascinating. It really is.
Yeah.
This machine is fascinating. This machine that we walk in, this meat suit.
It truly is. Now, you know, whenever we want to make a difference or an impact in our lives, whether as creators or, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs, we have these limiting beliefs. I think you alluded to that a while back. We have these limiting beliefs that tell us what we can or cannot do, right? And form these artificial circumferences between where we are and where we, you know, want to go. How do you find breathwork helps you transcend these limiting beliefs? How have you sort of realized it in your life?
God, I wish I had an answer. I mean, I guess the only way to answer that is, first of all, I was and still am, you know, chock full of limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
But I've overcome them. I wouldn't be here talking to you right now if I didn't wasn't able to overcome my many various limiting beliefs. But I guess to answer your question, it's not really something you can put your finger on, right? Mm-hmm. Or grab or hold. I think it would be more of clearing and getting out of your own way. Like we've talked about in the ice, you know, not much different from in the breath, you're able to tap in to that wise self, that deep wisdom that's within you, that gut, that intuition. You're able to turn this, can I use bad words?
Yeah.
Can I cuss? Turn this fucker off, right?
Yeah,
because this fucker is always on, like, you know, overdrive.
Yeah.
And so when you could turn this thing off and get into this thing, you're able to realize, wait a minute, all of those limiting beliefs are just stories in my head. They're just this endless feedback loop of trying to please others, trying to fit in, trying to, you know, ego. And I'm not saying ego is a bad thing. We all require a little bit of ego, but when that's all there is, and you have to go, everything has to go through the filter of the ego, you're fucked. Mm-hmm. So again, to answer your question, it's about getting out of your own way, right? Removing the muck, clearing the story that is just a story. The story in our heads are not necessarily reality. It's just a fucking story. I'm going to cuss the whole way out of here now.
Yeah. That's so true. You know, like for me, breathwork helps me expand my sense of self. And sometimes when I'm, you know, feeling stressed out or maybe anxious, it's just about me. And I feel very confined. And I feel that the world around me is separate and different and otherly. Whereas breathwork, when it expands you, and it also helps you realize that you are closer than you think to your dreams and your goals and your visions. Mm-hmm. Why? Because irrespective of whether you earn it or not, you achieve it or not, your beingness is still here. You're still going to be the same amazing, joyful, abundant you. And so then the goal becomes more of a play, right? You're like, what if I could get it? I can get it. Why not? Let me just get it. Because you're not attached to the outcome so much, right? That's what at least I felt, especially yesterday when I was breathing deep, right? And I don't know if my neighbors could hear it because I was.
I saw you.
You did it?
Yeah.
I was letting it out, right?
You were letting it. I had to mute you, actually.
You had to meet me.
Yeah, because I didn't want you to throw out the other person in the room. But yeah, exactly. I saw you. You went through it. You had a good release yesterday.
Yeah. Feeling like you're not enough, right? I think this goes hand in hand. Limiting beliefs and feeling like we're not good enough, irrespective of who we are, how fluent we are, how successful we are, right? Everyone feels that feeling because there's no end to how, right, successful or beautiful or whatever it is. We can be. There's always a next level. But we all feel that feeling of not good enough, especially if you're a creator or an entrepreneur or somebody who is embarking on something new and unfamiliar. How did you go about doing that? And I know it's a process. It's a journey. But maybe, you know.
I'm still on the journey.
Yeah,
I'm still on that road because I have imposter syndrome. I don't feel like I'm good enough sometimes. And then, you know, I'll do something and then the results and the reactions and the reviews and the testimonials and all that, you're like, oh, fuck. I'm actually doing this. How do I overcome that? Again, you just put in the work, right? Put in the work. Hold space for yourself. You know, I'm holding space for people all the time. I have to find the time to hold space for myself. And I also have to feel those feelings of incompetence. You know, for many years, I pushed them away and then reacted either in an angry way or overdoing it, overcompensating and acting too confident and like, oh, I'm good or I'm better than you. No, now I sit with it. I sit with the limiting beliefs and the I'm not worthy and I'm not good enough. And I do a little bit of this now, which I never used to do.
Right? Oh, journaling? Yeah. Writing? Yeah.
Well, I communicate with myself. I tell myself it's okay to feel like an imposter. It's okay. It's real. Don't avoid it.
Yeah.
Don't hide it. Right? I'm telling you and whoever else is watching right now, whoever's going to watch later, I have it too. I'm human. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy because I usually have a list of things that like ideas on stuff that I could write about because I love expressing myself through writing, especially on Facebook. And that was actually one of the things that I was going to write about. Right. Do you have the ability to sit with whatever you are experiencing? Because like you put it, a lot of times, me included, we tend to resist that which is in our life. And the more you resist it, the way the universe works, the more you're going to get it. Because the whole idea of resistance is to invite more of it. But if you sit with that discomfort or that feeling like you're not good enough or whatever negative experience you're having, just sit with it and bring it to the surface and maybe do some journaling afterwards. It's fascinating how it comes through you, but then it goes away, drifts away as well, right?
Isn't that funny how we've kind of come full circle and come right back to the ice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing. Sit with the discomfort, embrace the discomfort. That's how we grow. True growth comes from adversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so true. Yeah.
It all comes back to the ice. It all comes back to being in the breath, to being in an uncomfortable situation and learning from it. Growing.
It almost feels as if you have set the intention to be a healer or a breathwork, instructor or somebody that is wanting to hold space for somebody else. It feels like you invite some of the challenges and adversities yourself, right? Because if you haven't gone through those difficulties and darkness yourself, then it's going to be hard to hold space for somebody else and to have empathy for that person who's going through the challenge that you've gone through in your life. Isn't it? It's crazy how this works.
I am a strong believer in we have to teach what we need to learn the most.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, I'm selfish. I'm not only doing it for my clients. I'm doing it for me too. Because every time I take whole space, take somebody through the breath, through a breath work session, and through an ice plunge, I'm getting something out of it too. I'm not going to lie. It's reciprocal.
Yeah, that's very true. And that allows you, it gives you, it feels like it takes a weight off your shoulders because now you don't have to be that expert better than everybody else. You're a person who is doing a lot of personal experiments and doing research and working on yourself, and you're sharing what you've come across in your own life. And that, I feel, comes across as very authentic as well. Because then the other person says, hey, you tried that. What did you try, and what did you combine, and what did you find out? As opposed to saying, here I am on my, you know, high seat, and I'm going to talk, I'm going to teach you this. Right?
It takes you out of self. It's a form of service, right? Mm-hmm. When you're of service to someone else in need, mm-hmm. again, it's reciprocal. It takes you out of self. It allows you to back up and see the bigger picture, you know, chunk up.
Right.
Because we focus on the details, especially when there are details.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to chunk up. Chunk up as in, you know, bird's eye view. When you're focusing on one detail, you miss the whole picture, and you probably will miss how to resolve the whatever situation you're in, because you're focusing on one aspect rather than the whole thing. And don't get me wrong, details are important. Details are important when they're important. But we tend to obsess on the details, obsess on the outcome. We miss the journey. We miss the whole picture. We miss the lesson altogether. And we're just deemed to repeat the damn thing all over again.
Well, I think we take life too seriously sometimes, right? I mean, there's a time to be serious, but here we are with our challenges, with our personal difficulties, with our limitations. And then we take a moment to step back and realize that we are here on this moving planet. We don't even know what happens after a person passes away. Nobody knows that. We don't know where we have come from. And we are hurtling through space. 96% of the universe is dark matter and dark energy. You don't even know what that is. Scientists cannot fathom what that means, or what implications it has for humanity. So just to realize that we know so little takes the pressure off us, right? You're like, nobody's figured it out.
Have you ever had a DMT experience doing breath work?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
I still remember, this was a couple of months back. I was deep in some place that I can't even tell where it is. But it was dark. I could see darkness in front of me. And all of a sudden, I saw a yellow ball of light. Sometimes it's yellow, sometimes it's purple. And it feels like the ball is communicating with me.
Those are the colors I see. It's connecting
with me. Right? It feels as if telepathically, that light, that ball of light, I don't know if it's a being, but it's communicating with me. And then it becomes bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, it occupies my whole, right, my whole mind, and everything's bright. Like I said, comes back to the same point. Are we communicating with something or someone or I don't know, somewhere, somehow, right? And then it also brings to mind that as meditators, as breath workers, we're sort of like astronauts, except we're exploring the confines of the mind. Right. So
big time.
What about you? Have you had those experiences, the DMT experiences?
I have, yes. And it's words can't even describe it, explain it. It's pretty wild. But I too see purple and yellow and oranges for some weird reason. Those are the colors I see. You know, the yellow kind of goes into orange and then back into yellow.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I also mine is not exactly yellow, but
I did Bufo in October with. Can we talk about that here? Yeah. Is that
okay? We can skim a little bit. We can you know, like touch on it. Yeah.
I did a tobacco ceremony with a shaman, and Bufo was part of it. Bufo Alvarius, 5-MeO DMT, and and it's. I've had the same experience with doing the breath, but not as intense. Not as intense.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I came. First of all, it was like a rocket. Like you mentioned, rocket. So I was like, it was like, it's right. And
I've heard it from Joe Rogan, by the way. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Joe talks about it. Aubrey Marcus talks about it a lot. Yeah. He had a great episode with some guy who used to be a Vegas mogul. I forgot his name, Chris or something or other. Great episode. But I felt like I saw universal divine source.
Right.
And I saw an altar, but it wasn't a traditional altar. But to me, it was an altar. And it was surrounded by purples and yellows and oranges. And I felt like I was everywhere, yet nowhere simultaneously. I felt like I knew everything that there was to know, but I knew nothing. It was really, it's a really wild experience. They call it ego death. I don't know if my ego is completely dead, but there was some kind of death and rebirth going on. And I'm sober, so to me that was not a a party. It wasn't. I didn't do it medicine. To get high. It was medicine.
Right.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes. Plant medicine, even though it's an animal. Animal medicine. Frog medicine. toad medicine, rather.
Toad medicine. Yeah. It's crazy how we have these experiences, these realizations that are profound and beyond words. Even when you said that, you felt as if you knew everything, but at the same time, you knew nothing. What came to my mind was the court or the notion of the universe having an experience to discover itself, to realize itself. You know, it feels as if the universe goes in cycles. Sometimes we know everything and sometimes we know nothing. And the universe sometimes goes through this life and death just to know itself once again. I don't know if I'm using the right words for it, but
I know where you're going.
You kind of know, right. So talk about sound baths, because I know you blend sound with breath during some of your workshops. So what made you introduce sound baths with breath work? Because I've been wanting to blend both, right? Collaborate with a sound healer with their beautiful Tibetan singing bowl or some other alchemical bowl, and then mix that with the breath. But how has the experience been for you so far?
Oh, the experience has been spectacular. I mean, I'm working with my soulmate, my life partner, my partner in sound, my wife. It's just, we were already super close and now we've bonded even more. I could hear her bowls right now as we talk. She's doing a private session outside the window. You could hear it? Yeah. But you asked me how did I come to that? It came to me in a breathwork session, actually.
Right.
Yeah. So I do, as you know, you did my session yesterday. And online, it doesn't translate the gong and the bowls because of Zoom and these microphones, the condensed mics, that just doesn't come over the mics as well as it should.
Right.
So I do, before my wife came and started working with me, I used a playlist and I curate my playlists almost every session. If not one little tweak, I'll just redo the whole thing altogether. And I like to find, you know, music is still in my heart. So I'll go on Spotify and I'll start looking for stuff and I'll add it, you know, I'll try to grow it, you know, try to get more intense as we get closer to our breath holds. You know, I like there's a climax and then a come down and then a climax and a come down. So one day I was in a breathwork session with my friend Elias, great breathworker, great sound healer, and he combines them himself. He doesn't have a partner. And I was in one of his sessions, and it just came to me. Like, I was like, this guy is doing such a great job, and it's such a profound experience hearing him play the bowls while I'm doing the breath the way I'm doing it, or the way he's guiding me. And I realized a lot of some of the songs that I pick on my playlist are that kind, that sound, the bowls or a gong, you know what I mean? Tibetan stuff. Right. Like, so I just started realizing, okay, wait a minute. I'm a musician. I know my wife loves taking my breath work sessions. So I think I invited her a couple of weeks later. We went to another one of my friend Elias's sessions, and she came with me this time. And I told her, I'm like, listen to what he's doing. Maybe you could, you know, and she's like, I've always wanted to do this. And it kind of organically grew from there. Yeah. So I'm not taking all the credit.
That is so awesome. Yeah.
I don't know many other couples that do it though.
Yeah. Well, it's an ideal scenario. It's an ideal situation for both couples, both partners to be interested in similar or at least complementary practices and modalities, because then you get to not only partake in the relationship, but then you get to partake in so many other experiences, like growing a business and entrepreneurship and leadership and presentation. And that makes for so many opportunities for bonding and intimacy and connection.
Absolutely.
Which I'm sure takes your relationship, right?
We have that kind of relationship already. Sorry to interrupt. We already, like, I'm the type of guy, I'm not the type of guy that, you know, I have so many guy friends that are like, oh, I can't wait to go to Vegas and get away from the wife. I never understood why they use the for wife, but I'm like, I have to go to Vegas for something. I want her to come. Like, we do everything together. I'm not trying to get away from the wife. Like, why'd you freaking marry her if you're trying to get away from her? I don't know. That just doesn't really relate. It doesn't register in my heart, head, my heart. I don't get it. So yeah, the fact that we're doing this together is it just makes sense. And and our clients feel it. They feel the love between the two of us first. And they also really appreciate the male and the female vibe, connection. You know, they feel a lot of people say to us, you guys have very paternal we feel safe. We feel like like our mother and our father are holding space for us, you know, and that can be very cathartic for people who probably don't have good relationships with their parents. Conversely, you know, people that do, like, oh, I feel so good being in the presence of a man and a woman working together. We get that a lot. A lot of people mention the male female energies.
Yeah, it brings back me to the initial point I made, right? The importance of, if you're hosting an event or doing a podcast, there has to be like some kind of connection between the guest and the host, or in your case, in the workshop, between the two co-hosts, right? And they need to be able to hold space, and holding space is not it's not a joke, right? Holding space requires you to follow household things and rules and discipline in a way, so that the person can then go beyond their comfort zone, which is so difficult to do, and be vulnerable while feeling safe in that cocoon, in that, you know, that shell that you create for them. It's a big job, right? It's a huge responsibility, especially for somebody who's, you know, for the first time doing these experiences, who's new to it, like breathwork or maybe ice plunges and sound bath. It can be really, really discomforting for somebody who maybe has social anxiety. It's not easy, right? So I think that's a huge role.
I've seen it. Seen the discomfort of some newcomers coming in and not knowing what to expect, and kind of jarring them. And the breath work is jarring, you know. That's the other beauty about what I do, about what we do together, is I'm like, I'm creating the tension with the breath, and while my wife is at the same time softening the edges with the sound.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm like hitting them and she's caressing them all at the same time. You know,
it's
interesting.
It's very interesting, and I want to give a shout out to all our listeners, as well as people that have, you know, worked with me in the past, who, you know, fall in that bucket. Maybe people who would not normally do a breathwork journey, or, you know, go beyond their comfort zone, but for some reason or the other, maybe it's because of the energy or the vibe, they went beyond. So just wanted to give a shout out that you have done something amazing for yourself, that you will notice, right, the benefits of. Okay. Now, Gianni, I know we've spoken a bit about this before, right? Breathwork does have its physiological benefits that can be measured, that can be noticed, that can be improved, that can be tweaked, right? Biohacking. You have all these different devices. But then breathwork also has these more immeasurable benefits, these subjective benefits, emotional benefits, and spiritual benefits. And I think I'm a bigger fan of the latter half, right? What does breathwork do for you spiritually? Does it do anything at all? Because I know you maybe you don't like the word spiritual a lot, or whatever it is. Let me know if it does something for you spiritually.
I love the word spiritual, don't get me wrong.
You do? Okay.
I just feel like it's overused. And that's I feel like sometimes it turns people off. But that's the people pleasing part of me, where I don't want to turn people off.
Okay.
But I love the word spiritual, and I love spirituality. What does it do for me spiritually? Was that the question, rather?
Yeah. What does it do? I know you spoke about your DMT experience, which is very, very spiritual. But as you look back, what does breathwork do for you spiritually? You know, if you had to package it all up and summarize it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it connects me with a deeper part of me, connects me to my intuition. I like to call my breath. It's not just mine. Everyone's breath is my mentor.
Right.
Right. When I'm struggling with making a decision or coming up with an idea, creativity, it sparks creativity, which I believe is a spiritual thing, right? Music is spiritual, punk rock or not.
Yeah.
It connects me with a deeper part of me. It connects me with that intuition that, over the years, not just me, but many out there have squashed and stopped listening to it, not trusting it almost.
Yeah.
Or either that or just being in the head so much. It's like, this is not spiritual. This is. So it gets me in here. And so that's my spiritual connection. And, you know, it's a bonding with my clients. As I'm holding space, I'm bonding with everyone. And as a breather, when I go to other people's classes, when I'm not holding space, I'm bonding with the teacher. I'm bonding with everybody that's there doing it with me. That's a spiritual experience, connection. Yeah. I suppose there's more. If you guys want radio silence and want me to sit there and think, I could come up with more, but I think I've hit it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's very, very true. You know, through all these different practices like breathwork and sound and plant medicine and ice, we can't help but think about things like where were we before this? Like, what happens before birth? What happens after death? And the most profound question probably is, who are we, right? What is consciousness? So what are your thoughts around consciousness? Like, what is consciousness? I love to ask this question. And of course, we can talk about consciousness for hours and hours. But if you had to share a reflection that you had off late, maybe, what is consciousness to you?
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's electricity.
Yeah.
Combined with the spiritual. God, I don't, that's a good question. My God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to come back on the show and answer that one. What is consciousness?
Yeah.
It's the embodiment of every experience we've ever had bottled up into, I don't want to say bottled up, culminated to the very moment, which is fleeting right now, and now it's gone, and now there's the next one. Yeah. Consciousness is everything in the past and everything right now,
mm-hmm.
crammed together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So
I don't know how everything I came in up the past.
No, I think that's a great. It's a great answer, and it's a great reflection point for me also. Think about what you just shared. And you spoke about the past. You spoke about the now. What, according to you, happens when we decide to pass away from this physical, you know, existence?
Well, like, what are my beliefs? Is there life after death?
Yeah, because, you know, with these questions, there are no right or wrong answers, because nobody can tell somebody that they are wrong. Right.
I believe in reincarnation. I believe we keep coming back until we get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do believe in an afterlife. You know, not in a religious pearly gates kind of way, but in an energetic kind of way, you know.
Right.
I do believe we come back, whether it be in human form or animal form or even plant form.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that we might incarnate in a different planet, or do you feel that, you know, for the most part, it's human in this earth?
You know what? You know,
sorry for my crazy questions towards the end of the podcast. You know, I go all over the place, right? In terms of the abstract.
Look, what we're learning, these days about other planets and other worlds, and I guess extraterrestrial is no longer politically correct because I think it offends them.
Right.
I think the politically correct world has gone too far. But anyway, why not? Maybe we come back on a different planet.
Right.
I'd like to think so. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I used to often look at the sky, and I used to look at
Don't anymore?
No.
Get back.
That is because the reason is probably because I've become too much of an adult, and B, it's Raincouver over here. It's not called Vancouver. It's called Raincouver for a reason, because it's always cloudy and you don't have like a beautiful, right, clear sky. But in the summers you do, actually.
In the summer.
Yeah. Yeah,
do it.
But I used to look at the stars and watch the Sirius constellation. Mm. You know, the three stars.
Yeah.
And I used to look at the sky and wonder, right? You know, sometimes you look at the sky and you have this feigned familiarity, like you that maybe that's where you're from, or maybe that's where you're going to go. And it didn't make sense. But the more conversations I have with people like yourself, it instills in me the idea that, you know what, maybe I'm from there.
I get it. What you're saying makes, I totally relate. But for me, I get that feeling when I look at the ocean.
You do? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm on the ocean or in the ocean,
yeah,
I feel like I've come home. There's something about the ocean for me, and it's not in lakes. It's not in rivers.
No.
As much as I love being in rivers, lakes not so much. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I like being in lakes, but if I had the choice, the ocean, the sea, the ocean, the Mediterranean, I love. I grew up in the Mediterranean every summer. I feel so just at ease on a boat, in the water, near the water. We are water. Yeah. We are made up of ocean water. You know that, right?
We are. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And the ocean, the salt has a purging effect on us. The ancient Greeks used to have these, you know, almost month-long or maybe more rituals. And they were like totally into rituals, right? They used to have consumed these things and I'm sure breath work and, you know, dream work. And they used to specifically go into the ocean because they felt that it has a purgative effect. It helps you cleanse yourself, maybe take away all that negative, stale, stuck energy. But
they were right.
I'm setting the intention that maybe in the future we get to partake in a cold dip together, or maybe a dip together if you're dipping in California. Maybe not that cold. Is it cold?
It doesn't matter. Maybe it is cold. Water, the water is cold, so.
The water's cold anyway. Cool.
I mean,
cool.
When I put the ice in it, it's cold. Come visit me, brother.
So I set the intention that we will sometime in the near future, you know, have a nice plunge together and maybe have breakfast, lunch, or whatever that might be, dine together, right? What lies ahead for you, Gianni?
And we have a bunch of witnesses too. So
we got witnesses right here that are going to hold us.
You guys
camera.
Heard it first.
People
you all heard
to this.
It. What lies next for me, you ask?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? No.
What lies ahead for you lies in 2022?
I got a bunch of shit cooking. I got a bunch of stuff cooking. Excuse my, pardon my French. Retreats. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica in many ways, not just as retreats, possibly as a place to be living. Setting that intention outwards so you all could hear it. An ice bath with you. A meeting with Alex. I want to meet my teacher. I want to hug him. On a more, you know, on a more serious note, I'm seeing some corporate, some like you mentioned accidentally, but I'm actually working on some, doing some corporate retreats and corporate sessions, going into businesses and getting a staff, the entire staff to do breath work because, you know, it helps them, boosts morale, you know, increases production, all that stuff. I'm seeing more collaborations with other facilitators, other modalities combining. I'm seeing myself also getting into other things, other biohacking things, but not just for myself, bringing it out to others. Clay is something that I'm really interested in. Back to the earth, you know. More podcasts, more guests, more guesting or more whatever I'm doing right now. Guesting? What am I doing right now? More interviews?
Yeah, I guess you guesting. Could say. Yeah.
And vice versa. I wouldn't mind having a show of my own. It's a huge limiting belief. Like, I don't think I could do it. But I can. I can do it. I just got to get out of my own way. I could do it.
Yeah, you sure can.
You know, I have a lot of plans. I have a lot of big plans.
Amazing, amazing. So great to hear that. And how can somebody find you online?
Well, of course, Instagram is where I'm most active. Respiro Space, RESPIRO SPACE. Respiro means breath in Italian. I have a website, but websites are so 1995. Same, respirospace.com. I also have a Facebook page, Respiro Space. Not so active on that. I'd like to manifest a VA. If you're out there, hit me up. Virtual assistant, for those of you who don't know what a VA is. I even have a TikTok, believe it or not. My daughter's helped me with that, but I'm not very active there. So I would say Instagram is probably the best. And should I give my phone number? Or you can get all that off the website and off the Instagram. So, yeah. Email, cool. Same, Gianni at Respiro Space. Info at Respiro Space. There's a couple more. I can't remember them now.
We'll have all these links frozen in the show notes for sure.
Unless you're just a really good mime. Me?
Can you see me?
Uh-oh. Aditya.
Oops.
AJ.
Oops. Can you see me?
Okay, there you are. I tapped you. I tapped you back awake.
Okay. Are we back? Okay.
Yeah, we're back.
I think it's because our, you know, stream is so long that Facebook is having a hard time breathing. But so we're back. Control. So we'll have these links up in the show notes for sure. Action Tribe, if you liked this session, if you enjoyed this session, then make sure that you write us an iTunes rating and review, and maybe on Spotify or wherever you know, platform you listen to this podcast on, make sure that you write us a review. Make sure you share this. Tell a friend, tell a family member, because that one message will help spread the word and will help somebody change their life. If you would like to go on your own breathing journey, then you are welcome to join me on Zoom from anywhere in the world. As long as you have the internet and a pair of headphones, make sure you go to my7chakras.com/drop-in. my7chakras.com/drop-in. I love when I get to see and breathe and connect with listeners who have been, you know, listening to the show for so many years. But it's amazing when that happens. We'll have the link in the show notes. We would use movement and mantra and music and breath work to relax the body and to calm your mind. Make sure you join me. Gianni, thank you so much for connecting with me, coming on our show, talking to us about so many different topics and your stories and expressions of you even, and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my7chakras.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.